time. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for our elders who are here. Thank you for the spiritual authority present in this place. But God, most of all, Lord, we want your authority. Hallelujah. We want your dominion in this place, God. We want you to work, oh Lord. We want you to move, God. We want you to bless us, so Lord Jesus, as you would, according to your will. Let your will be done, God. Let your kingdom come, God. Hallelujah. Minister to us in this time, we pray, Lord. God, we want to be fluid in your hands, oh Lord. We want to be moldable, God. Allow you to work. Allow you to touch, God. Allow you to minister. And allow you to speak, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and smile at a couple folks, and you may be seated in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. So blessed to be here. Give honor to Bishop and give honor to my pastor, Pastor Pop. Amen. Your pastor. Hallelujah. And so many of the elders that are here, God bless you, and the pastors that are here, saints of the Most High God. And I give honor to my brother. Amen. What's good about Mondays? Amen. Not a whole lot, is there? Right back to the routine, back to work. And it's when the different things just don't work. The copy machine jams more on Mondays. It's been proven statistically, I believe. Definitely been proven at my school. Hallelujah. What's good about Monday? Well, for me, it's a little bit of Christmas. I get to unpack Brother Mike's teaching that he did that Sunday. And so appreciative of that, being able to pull that out. And what dynamic, revelatory word that there is. Amen. And I'm so thankful for it in my life. And it is a blessing, and thankful for the other ministers, Brother Peleltier, God bless you, and other ministry that are here. Amen. I meant to butcher his name, praise God. So that was on purpose, hallelujah. But so thankful to be at this sacred desk to minister to you. And we appreciate the 30 years that Pastor Pop has given. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm actually a benefactor of the years prior to that. Amen. It's the 30 years that are a blessing, and we appreciate it, but there's something special about the road an individual leaves behind, a name that they leave behind. I'm at the location before the 30 years. Amen. And I have a job because of the name that your pastor left behind. Amen. When my name came up as a possible applicant at school, they said, that's Mitch's son. Get him. We want him. Amen. You speak to any of his colleagues. He's esteemed. Anybody that just kind of knew him from afar, both in Ketchikan and in Soldotna, he's highly esteemed and appreciated. We talked of his talked to his former principal, and he said, Mitch was the best teacher. He was the best. I forget what else he said. It would have made a lot of sense if I knew the rest, but he said he was the best teacher, and among other things, and so I'm so appreciative of that. He retired after 17 years. This is my 18th year of teaching. Amen. Well, maybe I should say, clarify, I'm at 16 and two-thirds. Amen. I don't know what that was the last trimester last year. Amen. That was a disaster. But he'll always be my mentor. There's just something about, sometimes you can have more experience than somebody, but you just never quite reach to their level of expertise and wisdom and knowledge and counsel. Amen. So he's both a pastor, and he is also my mentor in my profession, the secular profession as well. Amen. And I appreciate that a secular profession can become a spiritual, amen, experience for individuals. Hallelujah. And that has taken place. I've had numerous of my students receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's just fantastic, the working of the Lord in that realm. So praise God. Amen. And so appreciative of the name and just everything else that he has blessed. And it's a real thing that... You dad is such an amazing individual that you can't quite know all the, like somebody was mentioning the stories that they're hearing from his peers. There's things that you might not know. I still hear stories for the first time from Pastor Pop. And the one about the filling up the gas, he told the other day. Remember that one, the gas station was about to close and so on. Amen. I'd never heard that before. Amen. And so that's a praise God. Well, the message is only about 20 minutes, and we have about 45, so hallelujah. Praise God. But in keeping with that fashion, I want to thank the flight attendants on our flight here. Hallelujah. I feel like they did a fantastic job. I feel like that funnel there was something special. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And I give honor to my brother Greg and his family. Amen. And whenever I want to feel like the most shallow preacher and most basic, amen, I turn on one of his messages. And I feel like I don't even know what I'm doing, why I'm doing this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just an amazing, amazing word of God. And somebody said amen. Amen. Somebody say, get to the preaching already. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. But Ezra, in 7 and 6 of the book that bears his name, is called a scribe in the law of Moses. Ezra is born and raised in the Babylonian area. And imagine only knowing exile. He's not advantaged to know spiritual prosperity of the Davidic dynasty, the kingdom of David. He's not privileged to be raised under Hezekiah's rejuvenation of the Passover. He only knows a society given to lasciviousness and sin, an idolatrous system. Worship any god, any way that you want. Appease the hundreds and even thousands of gods. You want your crops to grow? Sacrifice to this particular god. You want this particular crop to grow? There's a particular god for that. You want the Persian society to accept you? You have to pay tribute to this god. If you want to fit in, you have to appease this god. It's a perverse spiritual environment. It is an impossible background. Being born and raised in Babylon, some people of a particular spiritual heritage, some people knowing the one true God, would grow complacent. Some would grow apologetic. Amen. Some would get pacified. Some would get carnal. But there are some who I hope I'm preaching to today, hallelujah, that say, forget all of that. I am ready. Hallelujah. There are some in that environment who just get ready. Hallelujah. I'm ready in the word. I'm ready in my experience. I'm not apologizing for what I believe. I'm not apologizing for what I've experienced. I'm not apologizing for the one true God, but I am ready. I'm ready for him to work in my life. I'm ready for his promises to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. I'm ready for him to do something in my life that I've never seen before. Hallelujah. Would you clap your hands and shout unto God? Hallelujah. Let there be a shout that goes forth, amen, that says there's dominion in this place. There's something special in this sanctuary. There's a presence of God that's ready to move in this place. There's a liberty in this place because there's some people who are ready. Hallelujah. And in our day, amen, this is a day of a virus. This is a day of appeasement. This is a day of spiritual anarchy. This is a day of blasphemy. Isaiah chapter 5 and 20 speaks right to what's happening within our culture, within our civilization. He said evil is called good. Good is called evil. Darkness for light. and light for darkness, the bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Supporting LGBTQ and gender fluidity, we now call enlightenment. Objectification of women and young girls is now termed female empowerment. Like Babylon, we have a complex system of appeasing gods. You want to keep your friends? Support allegiance to gay pride. Want to increase your standing in society? You give to BLM and other such organizations. In our present environment, some are overcome by fear. Some get discouraged. Some get divorced. Some backslide. Some fall into addiction. But, oh, I praise God. Amen. And I wonder if there's some that would rise up in this place. There are some who get ready. Hallelujah. There are some, amen, that are ready for the working of God. They're ready for promises of God to be fulfilled. They still believe in the word of God. Hallelujah. A ready scribe was Ezra. And that notes the ability to teach. Amen. Somebody say house to house. Hallelujah. Any Bible study teachers out there, anybody in conversation that knows how to get into the word, you know how to share the word. You know how to share God's plan. You know, hallelujah, how to communicate your instant. Is what that also speaks about, is he's instant, he's able, he's diligent. I wonder if there's somebody in this place that's instant with your testimony. Amen. I don't need much prerequisition. I don't need much preliminary in my conversation. Hallelujah. Bishop Blackshear is going to tell you his testimony. Amen. He's going to witness unto you of the Most High God. It doesn't matter if you're a stranger. It doesn't matter if it's somebody you just met. He's ready to tell you about the things of God. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the scripture said, amen, that he came up out of Babylon. He went up from Babylon. Amen. He's ready for God's promise to be fulfilled. I'm not just writing antiquated words down, amen, but there's still a living God that's the giver of these words. Praise God. It says he's a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Amen. And it's involved so much intense effort. There's so much memorizing of the law. Something, thankfully, it doesn't stop just at the law of Moses there within this scripture, though. It says it's the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. So beyond memorizing the law, something happened beyond monotony. Of the least jot, amen, the least stroke that has to be exactly right. I'm sorry, young Ezra, you're going to have to transcribe all this again, Brother Adams, amen, because you forgot the jot over here. We don't have the Xerox isn't working today, amen, so you got to transcribe all of this again and make sure you don't miss the least stroke within it, because those accents form different words and different thoughts, and this has got to be perfect. But somewhere in the process of his intense study, all the memorization, all the grammatical training, drafts of scripture, there was a realization it wasn't just Moses' words. It's not just Moses' law. Hallelujah. It's not just my pastor's word anymore. It's not just mom's word or not just dad's word, but like Jeremiah, the word became like fire. Shut up in his bones. Somewhere along the line, he realized this is living word. There are living promises. There's a living spirit behind this that I can feel inside of my heart. I can feel inside of my bones. Hallelujah. And that's something that we all have to have, that revelation for ourselves. It's not just pastor's word. Amen. This is God's word. Hallelujah.
He may not have been raised under the best conditions, but somewhere along the line, he met the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. The voice spoke to him that spoke unto Moses out of a burning bush. Amen. Though I'm a captive, though I'm in the fire, amen, though I'm in exile, this word is real. This God is real. Brother Thomas, this spirit is real. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. But we look at the attitude of some of the other exiles. Ezekiel 37:11 speaks to it. Amen. Ezekiel was notified of what he knew. The Lord spoke unto him, said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. The rainforest preacher is not going to be able to go very long without water. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. That's the kind of environment that Ezra grows up in. That's what he can see of his peers around him. That's what he can see of a lot of his elders around him. Our hope is lost. There's some other fellas, and there's another kind of attitude of exiles. There's another readiness of exiles that they were associated with. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 15. The king Nebuchadnezzar is speaking, and I love me some Daniel 3:15 because it's a whole lot of fun. Hallelujah. But he spoke of a different readiness. Amen. We're speaking about a ready scribe, and there's other folks that are ready in other directions. There's other folks, Brother Merle, that are ready in other ways and other avenues. Amen. There's some folks that are ready in this hour to let it all go. They're ready to lay down their belief. They're ready to lay down their conviction. And they're ready to bow the knee to the things of this present world. And the king said, if that's you, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of all of these instruments, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Amen. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? What a procession. Amen. They're making up instruments for this thing. They're making up the pop songs for this thing. There's a whole nother, what in the world are these instruments? Amen. They got the cornet playing. It's the flute. It's the harp. And my favorite, the sackbut. They're letting the sackbut loose in this place. Amen. And it turns out that your pastor was a sackbut player. Hallelujah. And so was Brother Mike. Amen. That's the trombone. Hallelujah. We got some trombone going in this place. When the psaltery, amen, when the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Is that up? No, it's not up yet. Amen. Daniel 3:15. Missed my funny thing there. But the music is music. Amen. When the music plays, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. And there's so many, hallelujah, that are around Hananiah, Michael, and Azariah. I think that's Mishael, isn't it? Both ways, all right. Hallelujah. Yeah, you would say it's both ways. Praise God. Amen. But there's many that are around. They weren't the only ones of the princes. They weren't the only children of Israel that were there. Amen. But they may kind of look around and they say, this person's ready and that person's ready. And that person was given a name of promise just like ours were. And that person was given a name about Jehovah just like ours. But they're really ready to put it down and they're ready to bow to the things of this world. They're afraid of the fire. Hallelujah. But these fellas say, we're not ready to appease. Hallelujah.
When the chant comes to us, say their names, amen. We're not going to say their names because that hasn't helped anybody. But what we will do is say his name. You want to help this nation? You want to help our cultures? You want to end racism? Oh, I would that you would speak his name. There's only one name that's going to save this nation. There's only one name that's going to save this people. There's only one name that's going to end this mess. Hallelujah. Would you shout that name? I said it's Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Not ready to bow, but I'm ready to be tried by fire. Hallelujah. They said, I'm not ready to bow to all your wonder and all your all of the performance. Amen. All the enchantment that's available. All the musicica. Amen. I don't care how much musicica you bring to us. Hallelujah. I'm not going to bow. Amen. I don't care what philosophies of our day come. I don't care what kind of enlightenment you throw at me and say is greater than this book. I'm not going to bow. Amen. I'm not ready to bow. Hallelujah. I haven't even begun to fight yet. Amen. Praise God. I wonder if there's an elder in this church, amen, that say, you think I'm ready to lay down just because my years are getting up a little bit? I haven't even begun to fight in this place yet. You haven't seen me get warring yet, amen. You haven't seen the best of me yet. Oh, come on. There's some people that are saying, amen, I am ready, hallelujah, to live my life for God. I'm not ready to bow down to anything of this world. They're still running in Sterling. They're still running in Sterling. I might have to walk a little bit on my lap, but I'm still running. Hallelujah. I'm still ready. Amen. I'm still ready for the promises of God. I'm still believing. John, amen, was once termed beloved. Now he's sentenced to a Roman island prison to rot out the rest of his days. And I'm just keeping it basic here because that's what I am. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll get deeper a little later on today. Somebody say amen. Woo! Is anybody ready? Praise God. My throat's not right now. Hallelujah. Amen. John could think, and I'm speaking to an experienced, you're a knowledgeable audience, and praise God for that. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I don't have anything to tell you. You know what Patmos is. Amen. You know about what he's going through. And I don't have one of these, but did you know moments? I don't have any new facts about Patmos. It's still a prison. It's still miserable. It's still lonely. It's still painful. Amen. It's still depressing. Hallelujah. And John could begin to think, I've been forgotten. I've been forsaken. It's no use to pray. But instead, the record states that on the Lord's day, John was ready. Hallelujah. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, in our day, and I'm thankful for the technology. But Job told us what you're going to find as you begin to search. Job 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Only God can take you to heaven. Astronomers are never going to find heaven. I appreciate their findings. I appreciate the immensity of the space that is out there. But at the end of the day, all we got is space. There is no heaven. Amen. Man cannot find out God. You can't find the Almighty unto perfection. Hallelujah. But oh, if you can stay ready, amen, through the turmoils of this fallen world, amen, of your condition, of your problems. Scripture says, a voice said, come up hither unto John. And there was not a condition that could hold him back. There was no power of Caesar. There was no power of government. Physics became irrelevant. Matter became irrelevant. Walls suddenly couldn't hold him. Chains couldn't hold him. Because John stayed ready. He became the revelator. Hallelujah. Because John stayed ready, he became the revelator. John was translated into heaven, and he remains our example for the need to remain ready. Paul told the Romans, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. John told us, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen. There are some things that I've got to take care of, Sister Hyler. I appreciate the salvation of God, and that's flowing freely, and I can't earn it by works. But there are some works that I've got to do in order to stay ready. Paul said, let us cast off the works of darkness. John said, you abide in him. That's something I've got to do. Paul told Titus that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to keep looking. John again told the church, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. There's some action that I've got to take. Amen. There's some altars that I've got to find. There's some burning out that I've got to allow to happen in my life. It's up to me. God's not going to wake me up in the morning and say, get ready. Amen. It's up to me to choose as a living sacrifice to offer myself. Amen. I've got to find that altar. Oh, yeah. It's his sacrifice that purifies me ultimately, amen. But it's got to be my choice. I've got to bring myself to that place. I've got to stay ready. Purifieth himself even as, amen, so-and-so is pure. No, even as Jesus is pure. Hallelujah. Peter told the church, we according to his promise, look, everybody say look. For new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Hallelujah. It's in my court. There's something that I need to do. It's in my responsibility, Brother Levi. Jesus said in Matthew, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Therefore, you must also be, everybody say, ready. I've got to be ready. I've got to be purified. Amen. I've got to be bringing myself to the altar. I've got to be looking. I've got to be abiding in him. Amen. There's some effort that I need to put in place. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful. Ezra 7:6 said that Ezra is the ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Hallelujah. The king granted favor according to what? How intelligent Ezra was. How good looking Ezra was. How much Ezra was appeasing to the different communities within his life. Amen. How much he was bowing the knee. No, there was something that king saw. Amen. There's something about this ready scribe. There's something about a ready church. Hallelujah. The hand of God is just on him.
The presence of God is just in that sanctuary. Oh, there's something about it. Amen. There's something about this place. There's something about this people. Oh, the Lord God, the hand of the Lord God is upon them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Psalm chapter 52, verse 7. The subscript tells us that David's writing this when Doeg the Edomite told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Right. So addressing it to him, he said, this man, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. This is one Doeg who is the Edomite. Yeah. Edom. Hey, man, doesn't that mean red? Dr. Genesis? Praise God. Amen. What was that red? That was the pottage, right? That was giving yourself to the temporary. The temporary fix is going to be what I need, these temporary riches. And this very Doeg himself had attached himself to the kingdom of Saul. That kingdom has vanished. That kingdom is over. He's had his time. His anointing is gone. And Doeg is mercilessly killing the priests of God in order to attach himself to this kingdom. And that is the spirit of Edom. Just give me this fix. Edom got married to a daughter of Ishmael. Let me attach myself to bondage. Let me attach myself to what is temporary. Let me attach myself to what is not promised. So are those that trust in the riches, that trust in the philosophies, that trust in the thinking of this hour and of this day. And David says, I'm not like that, but I'm here to tell somebody I'm like an olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Praise God. Amen. My brothers are beasts. Hallelujah. Amen. They are thick. Amen. They are strong. I was so shocked one time. This was years ago, but we were benching. Amen. Praise God. I finally got them with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now they're back in the preaching. Praise God. We were benching and we were joking about getting a call on the phone, as in, are you money? Are you available in the moment? That's something Reggie Jackson coined. He said, I always answer the phone. That's why they called him Mr. October. And so we were joking about we'd put weight on, 260 pounds and start ringing the phone. And the phone would start ringing and say, hey, you're getting called. Are you going to answer the phone? Can you bench this? And I thought, there's no way Greg hasn't even been working out. There's no way he's doing 260. Amen. Oh, he answered that phone. Amen. And the next thing he says is, throw 300 on there. I'm feeling good. Hasn't been working out. Are you kidding me? Amen. Phone starts ringing. Praise God. He answered that phone. Amen. Here to tell somebody. And every time while he was preaching around, he may have done, 10 push-ups 2 months ago or something. He'd come to visit me at college. Amen. We'd go and bench, and he would get 300. It was unbelievable. Amen. They're beasts. I don't know if Mike's even seen a dumbbell, and he's got bigger arms than me. Amen. I'm giving myself hernias over here. Hallelujah. But I said all that, amen, for fun, and to mention this, never once did Greg come out of the weight room. There was one time he came out of the gym, and somebody asked him, what do you eat? What's your diet, man, to be able to, have this kind of fitness and this kind of strength? And Greg said, oh, I've been eating McDonald's. Next thing you know, they see that man he was talking to. Amen. They see him at McDonald's. I want to be like Greg. Hallelujah. But never once, Brother Jordan can bust some chops himself. Amen. Never once any of these guys come out of the weight room and somebody look at them and say, I tell you what, that dude's an olive tree. I tell you what, man, that dude's an olive tree in this place. Nah, maybe oak or maybe something stronger. Hey, man, that's not something that you would, the kind of title you would lay on somebody. Hey, man. But David said, I am like an olive tree. Why? Hey, man, you don't get no oil anointing from the oak tree. Praise God. But he said, the anointing from heaven is my strength. Hallelujah. I'm like an olive tree in the house of God because some anointing starts to flow on me and I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall because of the anointing of God. You go ahead and keep that Edomite all you want. You go ahead and connect the bondwoman all you want. Amen. I'm connecting to the anointing. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so it concludes in 52 and verse 9. Where David says, I will praise thee forever. Because thou hast done it, everybody say past, and I will wait on thy name, everybody say future, for it is good before thy saints. And praise God to have symbols of what God has done and what God is doing and what God will do, Brother Adams. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And that is symbolic of Ezra himself. Ezra is well acquainted with what God has done. But he says that's not enough. Amen. I've got too much spirit working on me, Sister Sherry. Amen. For it just to be what he did for the people of Israel. For it to be when he parted the Red Sea. Amen. But there's a Red Sea experience that's available for me as well. Not enough that it's just in the past. Hallelujah. But I'm ready for God to do it now. I'm ready for God to do it in my experience. So this is what he did. He's got a 5-month journey. Everybody say 5 months. And he's leaving the emperor. He's leaving the king. All he's got is the letters of that. And the looters and the marauders don't much care about that. There's not going to be any swift justice. Amen. And that's kind of familiar, isn't it? The looters and marauders don't care because there is just no justice, period. Amen. I don't care that you got letters from the king, that you got an edict from the king, that you're commissioned by the king. The king is weeks and months away from us. We're going to loot you now. But this is what Ezra said. Amen. I'm sick of being the one that's just reading about the things that God did. Amen. Ezra 8:22, it says he was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. So God is going to part the way for us. Not a one-time happening, amen, but month after month. After month, he's going to keep the looters at bay. He's going to keep the marauders at bay. Amen. God is going to be with us so that I, even Ezra, born and raised in Babylon, only knowing captivity, amen, my sandals are going to step into promise. Hallelujah. I'm going to step into that promised land. Amen. They're not going to be riding about Moses anymore and what he did with Joshua. Hallelujah. I'm going to step into that promise.
Somebody clap your hands while I take a drink. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Pop, I know the time. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to finish on time. Amen. I have till 11:20, right? Praise God. Oh, about 4 more minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just read quickly the result of when you put your faith in God. I know it's not easy. I don't like to do it. Amen. It's scary for my flesh. Amen. I've got the help of the king. Let's use the help. But Ezra said, no, we've got more blessing. Amen. Our God's going to go before us. Verse 31 says, and we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go into Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. Hallelujah. He delivered us. There was a weapon formed. Amen. No weapon formed shall prosper. That doesn't mean a weapon's not going to be formed. There will be a weapon. There were some laying in wait, but my God delivered me right through it. Can somebody get ready for that kind of blessing on their life? Hallelujah. Praise God. Here's how it came to Ezra. Ezra 7, 9, and 10 says, upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month, 5 months, came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Hallelujah. Praise God. He prepared his heart. What did he do? He got ready. Amen. And the blessing just continued to flow. Hallelujah. The promise continued to flow. The king's grant continued to flow. Hallelujah. That's how it is for a people that are willing to get ready. Amen. For a church that's willing to get ready. Hallelujah. And I love as we come to a close, let's stand. Praise God. And Scripture says that's all Ezra had to do, Brother Bartlett, in his church. Nehemiah 8, chapter 5, Brother Jordan, it said when Ezra opened the book, the people stood up. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I preached before about how they said amen. When they would give the amen, confirmation, affirmation, whatever you want to call it, it was a raising of hands. Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder if we can have that in a moment here in this place. Praise God. Hallelujah. That God's about to touch and minister to us in a mighty way. But let me read you a scripture really quickly as we come to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes the blessing of God just seems like some kind of urban legend that you've heard about. Man, I've heard about God doing that in that place. I heard about the dude putting straight water into his gas tank and it turning into fuel. You know, I've heard about this happening and this tumor falling off and so on. It kind of seems obscure to me. It hasn't been real in my situation. And I wonder if the thought of the articles of the temple of God were in that manner to Ezra. I've heard that they still exist. I've heard that they haven't been burned with fire, but I just don't know about it. I don't know if that's the king is if that's still available for me in my day. But I love Ezra 1 and 7, and I like it to the treasures that God, our King of Kings, wants to lay upon us for a people that are ready. Hallelujah. We're about to confirm it in a second. Amen. We're about to lift our hands. Hallelujah. We're about, amen, to stand up and give ourselves unto God. But Scripture says in Ezra 1 and 7 that Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and he put them in the house of his gods. And Cyrus said, they still exist. It's not a myth. I've still got them, and I'm giving these treasures unto you. And now, hallelujah, I've got the blessings of Solomon. Now I have the articles of David. Now I've got what was spoken about all those years ago. That's the treasure in my possession. Who does it come to? Who gets blessed in from the past? Treasures of old and treasures of new. It's a people that stay ready. Hallelujah. A people that stay ready. Would you confirm this by the raising of your hands? And begin to praise unto God right now. God, I am ready. God, I am ready. God, I am ready. God, I am ready. Shen